evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here on Sedona Talk Radio. And we are live and also on Blog Talk Radio, live on the Internet. So thank you so much for being with us today. If you'd like to call in and ask our guest a question today, the telephone number is 424-258-9318, and please be sure to push a 1 before, and so we would know that you would be in line to ask a question. If you are listening to this show on archives, please do send us an email on today's show dashboard, and we'll be happy to get back to you. There's also a link on today's show page to be able to contact our guest, who is Karen Curry. So today, we are now, oh goodness, we are just buzzing through this summer, so I like to think so. We're already into July. We're here in the South, and it's like, let's keep going. If we can just make it to September with no storms and, you know, go get over some of this heat. I guess we, in the summer, pretty much feel like those people that are in the North when they're complaining about their snow. Oh, if we could just get to the other side, you know. I'm just waiting to get to the other side of this heat, feeling like we're baking like nobody's business. So today, we're going to be talking about a very unique topic. This is something that when I got the book, I sat down and read it front to back, and I said, okay, kind of get it. Not sure if I'm really getting it. Not really sure if it can help me, but I'm willing to listen. And it's human design. What is human design? And how do we even understand it? And, you know, my guest is Karen Curry. She is the author of Understanding Human Design, The New Science of Astrology, Discover Who You Really Are. And I think it's really important to talk about this book today, and that's why I have her on the show, is because it's a manual about your life. You know, it's how to understand about your human design, and it's like having an instruction manual. You know, when you're born, your parents are doing the best they can. Well, pretty much, you're getting what the parents' experiences have been, and they take those experiences and replicate them on you. So when you grow up, you say, okay, that's not me, that was my parents. So there's a whole lot of, in the younger adult, as we call it, of unwinding all of those things that you were taught or what you were shown or how you were responding to different things. So there's a lot of learning what your parents are teaching you, and there's a lot of unlearning what you don't really want to mesh with, what you don't feel like is really all about you. So knowing your human design, it's all about helping you discover your unique strategy. And because you get this chart from your birth date, and it's got all these lines and all of these little colored graphics and everything, and you say, okay, I kind of get it, all right. And what it will tell you is about your blocks, where the energy is going, what's flowing, what may or may not work for you. And have you ever done this? I've done this. I'm almost 60. I'm stuck. Oh, my goodness. I can't get out of this. I don't know what's wrong. I've been doing that for decades. How many of us have said that? Everybody can raise their hand because they've said it at one time or another in their life. So human design, if we can understand, you know, that thing you've been fighting for decades, well, maybe it's always been there. So why are you fighting it? Just figure out how to use it. And that's the important part about today's show. So I'd like to welcome Karen to the show. Karen, thank you so much for being with us this evening.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here.
Isn't it great? Is it hot at your house?
It's hot. I'm here in Austin, Texas. So, yeah, it's hot.
It's hot, you know, and it's a good time to, a lot of people are staying in the house, as we say in the South. We stay in the house mm-hmm. in the summer when the people up north stay in their houses in the winter, right?
That's right. Yeah, absolutely.
Goodness. So, you know, as I said in the beginning, you know, this human design book, it was like, I read it from front to back and I said, okay, I kind of understand it. I get the words, the language. It's not something that, you know, I couldn't understand the sentences or what you were saying. It was just I couldn't put it together in my mind how it would work. And so we had spoken because you do private consultations with your book, and also you have a lot of things on your website to work with the book. But it was about how our life, you know, we always say it's our what our parents have given us, their experiences. So, but we really want to look at what did we come in with and how maybe those experiences have affected us or enhanced or caused trouble for us, right?
That's true. And I think, you know, it's not such an easy formula. You know, I know, I think it's definitely, you know, when we're looking at human design and we're looking at how does your human design influence where you are right now and how can you use your human design or your understanding of human design to get you where you want to be, you know, it's a really interesting equation because there are, you know, we're all born inherently, you know, with our own unique energetic configuration. This is, you know, our energy configurations are what make each and every one of us unique. So, you know, you're different from, I don't know if you have any brothers or sisters, but, you know, you're different from your siblings. If you had an identical twin, you would be different even from your twin because your energy design, who you are, and the imprint of your I like to call it your personality suit for this lifetime that your soul puts on so you can accomplish your mission, is going to be different and unique. So you have that first piece that is who you are at birth. Then you have the second piece, which is how were you imprinted, which is what I think you were just talking about, right, Jeanette? You know, we are all imprinted.
Right.
From our parents, from our school systems, from our siblings even, from the people we were around consistently as children. And then we have our own life experiences and our own perceptions of our experiences, and that factors into, you know, where we are and how we got here. And then thirdly, you know, our own spiritual awareness also contributes to where we are right now. So when we work with people, you know, and their human design, you know, the first step is, of course, giving people a human design chart, which helps you very sort of, you know, the most important thing it helps you do is figure out who are you. You know, a lot of us are bumping around in our lives sort of trying to be something that we're not. And I find in my years of working with people, and I've been doing this for over 14 years, I've done over 6,000 readings for people. And even before I found human design, I've been a life coach since I was 28 years old. I studied with Thomas Leonard way, way, way in the beginning of life coaching before it was even a real profession with a title. And I find that the greatest source of pain in anybody's life is the amount of distance there is between who they really are and perhaps the masks or the expectations they're trying to fulfill or the inauthenticity of the life they might be trying to lead. If your life isn't a reflection of the truth of who you are, you're going to be in pain somewhere in your life.
But you know what? I think that's a factor of history. It's a factor of generations. And I think that just now, there you may have encountered, you know, a lot of exceptions along the way of people that were really a little bit farther along in their life. But I think the overall population at this point is just now starting to look at things like this, you know. Well, maybe I don't have to act like that. Maybe I don't need to think like that. Maybe I can change something with my life. You know, we look at the generations and, you know, I grew up in the 50s and 60s. Let me tell you, it was all about sit down, shut up, don't have anything to say, just do what you're told. And when you turn 18, put your suitcase on the porch and bye-bye, you know. And it's not at all like that anymore. It is so far from that that you almost, when you might say, you know, do you know how like you used to always talk history with your grandparents and they'd say things and you're going, it can't possibly be that crazy. It couldn't, you know, it was never like that. But now things have changed so much in the past 30 years. It's that every generation you're looking at it and saying, no way, we couldn't have changed that much. And I really think we have.
Oh, I think it's phenomenal. When I used to teach, actually, this started off my career teaching parenting classes, and I used to teach, you know, in my parenting class, I'd say, you know, we used to have a generation gap, but now it's
right.
Almost like we have a double generation gap between generations because of the speed at which we're evolving. And I think you're absolutely right. Obviously, you know, where we are right now is a result of our history. And when you look at human design, one of the things that I find really fascinating is that you actually inherit your energy design, your actual human design, which is astrologically based. You actually inherit that from your grandparents. Your parents will have a similar design to your great-grandparents. So you can actually see that there are repetitive energy cycles intergenerationally in families. So you will be raised by your parents. you know, you'll carry your parents, your grandparents' design. So the dynamics of what goes on between you and your parents oftentimes mimics what happened between your parents and your grandparents. And each generation has a new opportunity to come in and break and change those cycles or evolve those cycles, which is, I think, what you're talking about. I think we have seen dramatic evolution just even in the nature of how we relate and how we handle relationships and obviously technology and everything else. But definitely, you know, there are pre-scripted energy patterns that we carry that I think are part of our soul's journey in this individual incarnation that we're having.
You know, it's absolutely incredible, you know, when I talk with my kids who are young adults now, and some of the things they say, I'm going like, where is that coming from, you know? Where I can remember when my kids were growing up, it was like, my goodness, what are you saying that for? I couldn't understand it. It didn't make sense to me. And I think probably now you hear a lot of times parents say that. They go, oh, my goodness, my kids are so smart, or I never knew that, or my child pointed something out to me about my life that I didn't notice. And mm-hmm. So it's, you know, it's these young kids are really teaching us a whole lot more also.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, that goes even beyond human design, too. I think when we look at, you know, the nature of collective consciousness, you know, our children are being born into the consciousness that's been accruing since, you know, until the moment they got here. And so they kind of have, I think, personally, because I have five kids, you know, I think they come sort of with an advantage of sort of innately understanding all the stuff that we've been struggling to do for most of our adult life. They already get it. I mean, just look at, I always joke, you know, when my middle daughter was four, she's 16 now, she's the one that taught me how to change the font size in WordPerfect because she understood how to do it, and I was completely baffled. But, you know, she just got it. So.
And it definitely does. I mean, even my daughter today, she's in her early 20s, and she'll say something to me. She'll say, you know, I just don't understand it. She said this the other day. She said, I don't understand. You know, it's not all about – I'm looking at all these doctors because she's in medicine. And she says, I'm looking at all these doctors, and they are the brainiest in the whole country, actually almost this part of the world, and they are miserable. They look like turds on walking with white coats. They are miserable people. She says, and why does that have to be, and why would you want to be like that? You know, and she couldn't understand that, you know, the idea of the place and the things that we have to do in life to be accepted into certain systems in our lives, you know, and that's pretty much a problem too. Whereas when you come in with human design and you're trying to fit yourself into a place and it's, like, you feel like you're just going uphill, and like you said, you wear a mask. You start putting on all of these things, you know, I'm a doctor, I wear a white coat, here's part of my name, I make sure my hair is cut and my shoes are shined. So that's your facade. And, you know, and she's like, well, that's not really it, is it? She saw the under part. So I think that we now as adults are starting to learn this a little bit more.
I think so. And I find in my practice that the 50-year mark, which when you look at the astrology of 50 and what happens between 50 and 60 especially, the 50-year mark tends to be a very significant time when people really sit up and, you know, out of their dream state. You know, they've been dreaming and they lay in bed and dream all their life, and then they sit up at 50 and say, whoa, wait a minute, now I've done everything I should do, now I want to do what I want to do. And sometimes they, you know, life kind of falls apart at that point. In fact, I find a lot of 50-year-olds, life sort of goes boom, you know, things start to kind of disintegrate. Marriages oftentimes will fall apart. Jobs will become radically different. Financial situations whack you. Health issues whack you. And it's not about the relationships, the health, the money, or any of it. It's really that at 50 we get this call astrologically that says, hey, are you ready to get real now? Are you ready to really be authentic? Are you ready to step out of the costume and take it all off and stand totally naked in front of the world and be who you are? Obviously, some of us get that call a little bit earlier. A very few of us who are very fortunate, start off their life, I think, with that call. Certainly, I think the quote-unquote millennials, I think, have that call already sort of instilled with them, which is why I think they struggle so much more to be you know, to put on the masks. I don't think they're as tolerant as wearing the masks as many of us were in our younger days. But definitely, I think collectively the planet is being called to step into a much more authentic expression because we need to. You know, the thing is, when we're not living from the truth of who we are, when we're wearing whatever that mask is, that mask of obligation, that mask of what I should be doing, you know, a lot of it is motivated by, I personally believe, by a sense of lack of in some way, shape, or form. We're doing what we think we need to do to make the money, or we're doing what we need to do to have the reputation, or we're doing what we need to do to prove something. And underneath all of that is an underlying drive that says, it's not okay for me to be who I am. Who I am underneath all this is not enough. And when we come from that place of lack and we're hiding that authentic truth of who we are, you know, eventually, because any person we're out of alignment like that is not sustainable, eventually it does crumble. You know, the truth of who we are, that person we were born to be, eventually wants to come out, and it eventually has to come out. You know, it's the nature of the drive of the soul. You know, you don't come here to wear a mask. You come here to be real. You come here to play the game totally naked. And when we, you know, when we're living from that place of truth and we step into it with a sense of how precious and valuable you are, which, you know, I think is what happens to us at 50. We suddenly wake up to our magnificence and we get out of that place of not being enough and moving into that space of being way more than enough. When we move into that place of value and authenticity, everything comes apart, but then everything comes together much more beautifully and much more authentically. And, you know, I love that you're bringing up the fact that it's a little bit different for our younger generations, because I do believe that the kids that are coming in, or the young adults, you know, I hate to call them kids now, but, right. but they feel like kids to me at this point, you know, these young adults, they really, they're coming from such a different place of consciousness, and I think such a different consciousness of possibility, but they're not really operating from lack anymore. They're really seeing that there's way more than enough. We just have to be able to access it. And they have, I think, the courage and the chutzpah, frankly, to be able to say, you know what, I'm not willing to do something I don't want to do. And I don't even, you know, even if that means I'm tossing away my college degree at 23, I'm not going to fake it. And, you know, I think that's amazing. And I think that's really what we're all wanting, is just they've got the courage to do it.
Yes. Well, my daughter always reminds me, I'll say something to her, and I'll say, well, don't you need to prepare something or think about this? She says, my life happens. It's absolutely wonderful. It's glorious. And I always get what I want, what I need. And I went, all righty then.
I love it.
But we need to think about, hey, she's one in a zillion, you know. I am telling you. So now let's talk about the rest of us. Because, so let's define, you know, define human design. I mean, like, what does the word mean? So if I say I'm stuck, my world isn't working, I don't need, know what I need to do, then they come to you and you do a chart on human design. Can you take us from there?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, you are definitely one in 7 billion. And I will tell you that I have never seen an identical chart, which I think is pretty cool. And I've done 6,000 readings. We run hundreds of charts a week. So, you know, I've literally never seen an identical chart, which we're all unique, and it's incredible. And by the way, I've never also seen an ugly chart or a horrible chart either. They're all amazing. So, but basically what happens is we take your birth date, we plug it into our computer software, we generate a chart, which is, it's like astrology in that we use your birthday, birth time, and birthplace, but it does not generate a chart that looks anything like a traditional astrological chart. It's basically a triangle with a bunch of geometric shapes, and as you said, a bunch of lines on it. That chart is a map to how you process energy in the world. It shows us who you are, what you're here to do, what your strengths and your weaknesses are. It shows us where you put energy out into the world. It shows us where you take energy in from the world. And most importantly, it shows us your unique energy decision-making strategy. In human design, there are 5 energy types. Each one of those energy types has a different way of making decisions. And if you really think about your life, where you are right now is the sum total of every choice you've made in your life. You're here because of the decisions you've made. When you understand how you make decisions and the way that's correct for you energetically, you can begin to start making decisions differently so that you're making choices that are going to be in alignment with who you really are. It basically, when you understand how you operate and your best decision-making strategy, it takes you out of that imprinting field. It takes you out of that place where you're being buffeted and influenced by forces that maybe don't even belong to you, that might be somebody else's energy. It gives you a way of knowing how you can tune into your own energy, how you can discover your own inner authority, what you need to do to make a right decision for you, to move you into the place in your life where you want to be, where you can fully express your authentic self.
And you know what? That's a whole lot of information. So I think that what I would say sometimes, too, when I speak to people is they say, well, I really still don't understand it. So here's how I explain it, because I think we have listeners that are on several different planes, and I want to make sure we get to them all. Because what I find is that I almost say you're almost like one of those Mario brothers on that game, you know, and these things are coming at you and they're hitting you. And you're going to decide, you know, am I going to be a little slow and I'm going to get hit? I'm going to be a little bit fast and I'll do something else? Or am I just going to sit there and take it, you know? And kind of when I think about with the human design, it's more of you say, you know what, I'm going to make a choice first that I'm going to go from beginning to end and I'll be fine. And there it goes. You just do. Or, hey, you know, I'd love to have some pink paintball on me. So you go through the thing again and you've got a lot of paintball on you. So in other words, the decision that you make doesn't always have to be right or wrong. It just has to be a decision. A lot of people say, well, what if I took that road? You know, all this stuff about the road, you know, you take is, you know, everybody, they show the pack going to the right and you're going to the left, or, oh, the one you should have taken or the one you didn't take, and it's all like, oh, my goodness gracious. You know, sometimes you feel like you have to have a Rolodex of all these taglines in your head to be able to know what you're supposed to do. And really what you're saying in human design is throw that Rolodex out. Don't bring all of that with you because it really is unrelatable, you know. A lot of times when people say to me, oh, but you're like me. Okay, that's nice. You know, did you have potato pancakes for breakfast? And did you have hot sausage for lunch? And did you eat chocolate cake for supper? No, then you're not like me. You know, we have to understand that we are so individualized and our choices can be right or wrong for anyone. And just the idea of just being able to make them, right?
Well, and I think one of the things that I would immediately eliminate from this conversation is the idea that there's a right or a wrong choice. I mean, I think the minute we start to judge that is the minute we start to kind of beat ourselves up for where we are. But what I'm going to say is rather than saying right or wrong, is I would say there is a more authentic choice versus an inauthentic choice, meaning we're always given an option to make a decision that's going to bring us more into alignment with the truth of who we are. And that's really what human design teaches you, depending on what your energy type is. It's going to give you a strategy to make a decision that's going to be more authentic for you. And actually, what's so beautiful about it is that you were saying, well, you know, some people like to get splattered with paintball and some people like to do it perfectly, you know. And in the more complex analysis of a chart, and every chart's different, and you can go very deep into a chart. There are absolutely some people who absolutely will go for the paintball every time because that's who they are. And oftentimes, you know, what we look at when I do a reading for, say, someone who has that quality in their personality, one of the things I do is to teach them to forgive themselves for all those places where people have been telling them, why do you always do it the hard way? Why do you always screw up? And to help them understand that they're not screwing up. Some of us like it more challenging. Some of us are designed to take the hard road, and some of us like to be the same as everybody else, and some of us like to be different. I mean, you can't classify human beings into, I think, all the little tiny categories we want to shove each other into. We are very complex and beautifully rich individuals, and you know, the way in which we all come together in our unique designs makes us all the unique people that we are. And again, when you can know how to make a decision that's correct for you, it will help you get yourself to that place where You can be in an environment that's more supportive of you, hopefully. It can give you an opportunity to connect more with the people who get you. It can help you align with the work that is the expression of your soul instead of just doing what you think you got to do to make the buck. It gives you, you know, puts you into a place where you begin to learn to love yourself. And, you know, we talk a lot in New Age, New Thought, you know, modern, you know, self-help or whatever. We talk a lot about self-love. And I have to say that after watching, you know, doing human design and working with people, you know, one of the things that happens is when you begin to make decisions that are in alignment with your truth, whatever your truth is, yours amongst all the 7 billion other people on the planet, whatever is true for you, you begin to, by nature, fall in love with yourself without having to sit there and do all the psychological stuff and all the, you know, it's not that that stuff isn't important, great. But simply by moving more, you know, step by step into alignment with what's right for you, what's true for you, and really becoming aware of who you are, you do begin to fall in love with yourself. And when you fall in love with yourself, your life starts to take you in a very different, much more pleasurable direction.
And, you know, I think we're seeing a lot of things fall apart right now. Systems, the way people work, there's a lot of people quitting jobs. And not really saying that they need that much money, they don't need that much stuff. We're seeing marriages falling apart, and everybody thinks it's a bad thing. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes you just say, you know what? I just really want to honor myself, or I just want to pay attention to myself now, or this just isn't working, and, you know, I'm going to let you go down your little whatever it might be, and it just might be different. And with things moving so rapidly, I'm finding that you hear with almost everybody, don't you think so?
Yeah. I mean, I think things are changing and shifting very rapidly. And I think that whenever we strike out to make a decision to be more authentic, there is a possibility that things will start to fall apart in your life as part of it, you know, as part of things realigning. And it might even feel awful temporarily, but it's really kind of like debriding a wound, so to speak, you know, is getting all the junk out so that you can heal and be more in integrity with yourself.
So let's talk a little bit about the design chart itself, because it is a very unique looking picture. And when you do purchase the book, you do have several things in here. You have affirmations, you have reading assignments, and you have different things in here where people can find out more information. They can go on your website and get a lot of support. So if you purchase the book, Understanding Human Design, the link is on today's show page. Also go to the website to find out more information about how this book can help you find your chart, get some more answers, and also Karen does have private consultations. So Karen, can you tell us a little bit like about when we see the chart, what are we looking at?
Basically, when you're looking at a chart, you're going to see a triangular shape that's sort of contained within the side profile of a human. That shape has 9 different geometric shapes in it. Those shapes are connected by 32 different kinds of lines. Each one of those geometric shapes is actually what we call an energy center. So it shows us how we as humans process different kinds of energies. For example, there's an energy center on the right side of the chart called the emotional solar plexus. So what we know from the chart is that being emotional is one of our distinctly human characteristics, or one of the distinctly human energies that we carry. When we see with all the little lines, when you look at all the little lines, it's very much like the wiring. If you've ever seen a blueprint of, say, the circuit board or the wiring, the electrical wiring in your house, or the circuit board of your computer, or even in your car anymore. Cars are pretty electrical anymore. If you look at an image of the wiring in your house, it's got all kinds of little circuits. So your washing machine and your hot water heater, for example, might be on the same circuit. And then you might have a different circuit with, say, your dishwasher and your garbage disposal and your refrigerator and the lights in your kitchen. In human design, the human design chart also has different circuits. So there are different kinds of circuitry or archetypical energies that run through that chart. Each one of those little lines has a number on either end. Human design is actually a synthesis of Eastern and Western astrology. The Chinese I Ching, so all those numbers correlate directly to the 64 hexagrams from the Chinese I Ching. It also contains within it information from the Kabbalah, from the Judaic Kabbalah, from the Hindu chakra system, and also from quantum physics. So it's really this delicious synthesis of these very complex ancient esoteric sciences in this kind of brand new way. Every chart has on it colors. So everybody has a chart that has stuff colored in on it, and every chart also has on it stuff that's not colored in. Anything that's colored in on your chart is actually your energy that you have consistently, and it really is the truth of who you are. We call that your definition. So when you see your chart and you get your chart and you see all those colors, that's you. That's the energies that you have consistently. If you have white on your chart, and this is the part that I find really cool, anything that's white on your chart, that's actually where you take energy in from the world around you. So if we go back to that shape that's the energy center called the emotional solar plexus, which is part of all of us. We all have an emotional solar plexus. Some of us, half of us actually, have that center white, which means that half of us are taking emotional energy in from the world around us, or rather, another way of saying that is half of us, by nature, are emotionally empathic, which is a really cool thing if you're a healer or you're a nurse or you're, you know, you do something in a profession that requires you to sense and feel where other people are at. It makes for great salespeople. If you can, you know, sense how your clients are feeling, you can tailor your sales presentation to their emotions, right?
Right.
But if you're empathic and you feel people's feelings deeply, it also can create within you a lifetime pattern of wanting to not make a wave. You don't want to, you know, you don't want to upset people. You want everybody to be happy. You maybe have a lifetime pattern of working really hard to keep everybody in your life happy so they don't get upset, because when you feel them being upset, it's very hard on your system. So when you understand how you're hardwired, when you, let's say, for example, if you understand, oh, my gosh, I'm empathic. I feel other people's feelings. You start to be aware that, hey, first of all, you don't have to tailor your behaviors to keep everybody happy. You start to recognize your own energy versus somebody else's energy, and it gives you a whole new way of being in the world so that you're not being buffeted or even deeply influenced or maybe even controlled by other people's energies. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and it's definitely an issue. I know when people say that they can feel other people's energy, and then they go home at the end of the day, and they're like crashed, and it's taken everything out of them, you know, and they just didn't know their boundaries or their own power to be able to equalize that, or even to be able to, you know, that it's not theirs. I mean, how many times, you know, do you stand there and you have an argument with someone, and you're looking at it, and you're going, it's just really weird, you know, when you walk away. Because it's really sometimes the other person's issue, and it had nothing to do with you. They were just standing there spewing like nobody's business because you happened to be in the way. So that's pretty
absolutely.
Simple way of putting it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And that, I mean, and again, that's the beauty of it, is when you have that self-awareness of how you're hardwired, you suddenly can begin to see your interactions with other people from that kind of perspective, like you just said, where you can start to go, hey, that's not mine. And really, you know, there are some people who by nature, by design, are extremely sensitive. And if you're one of those kinds of people, you know, having that information really allows you to go out and to be able to navigate the energy forces that you're dealing with and begin to, first of all, not shift and change your behavior, you know, at the mercy of other people's, you know, energy. And secondly, it allows you actually to move from being exhausted by it. Because what happens is, I always tell my clients, be a screen, not a sponge. Wherever we're taking energy
right.
in, we tend to hold on to it and feel responsible or obligated towards it in some way, shape, or form. When you understand where it's coming from, you begin to be able to let go of that obligation and responsibility for it. And all of a sudden, instead of holding on to it, you're simply looking at it and sensing it and then releasing it. And you go home at the end of the day and you're not completely exhausted by other people's energies because you haven't taken it in the same way, because now you understand it differently.
And I think sometimes a simple way for people to even think about that is, an example, when a husband might come home and he's, you know, in a bad mood or whatever, and the wife, the first word is he takes out, or he'll say something in a bad mood, and she'll think it's her. What did I do? You know, that whole scenario. Mm-hmm. And finally, you know, I had said this to someone else in the past, and I said, is that really all about you, or is it about him? And they looked at me like I was crazy, and they said, well, he came home that way. And it was like, okay, so next time he comes home, his responsibility is to say, I've had a rough day. I really need time. It has nothing to do with you. And her responsibility is to say, thank you for telling me that, and I'll go in the other room. In other words, you know, leave it where it is until you get really good at the techniques, you know? You don't
Absolutely.
Need to be
Absolutely.
Sitting there listening, feeling it. You know how when they throw the papers around or they're mad or this, that, and the other? And then you're just sitting there like mousing around, you know, doing your kitchen chores or whatever. And it's like, oh, we don't want to make any noise, you know, because daddy's in a bad mood, those kinds of things. And I think that's also where a lot of abuse, you know, right now is happening, because people are starting to say, I don't like this anymore. You know, this isn't right. So a lot of people are starting to stand up, you know, and saying, I'm not willing to accept that anymore. And that's a great thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and again, just having the self-awareness, it gives you a whole different set of tools to deal with these kinds of situations. And I mean, this is, you know, when I actually did a survey with a lot of my clients last year, and I asked them, you know, what is the greatest thing you've gotten from human design? And I really expected them
right.
to say, oh, you know, I learned all about myself. I've changed my life. And I got a lot of responses that said that. But the one that surprised me the most is my clients, every one of them just about came back and said, you know, I love what I learned for myself, and it was really amazing. And what I really got out of it that I wasn't expecting, that has been so surprising, is not only do I love myself better now, I also can accept other people for who they are, and I'm no longer a victim
right.
of other people's energies, and I can see them for who they are. You know, if my husband comes home in a bad mood, you know,
right.
and you understand maybe your husband's chart, you might also see that maybe your husband is also sensitive, and this bad mood he's bringing home is his response to what he sat with all day, and
correct.
You can kind of sit with it and go, it's not me, it's not personal, and you can create that space without all the drama and the crap that we do with each other in relationships, and simply
right.
allow your partners to be where they're at. And it really becomes this powerful tool to really move more deeply into unconditionally loving someone and allowing them to be where they're at.
And also to not to try to fix it because you feel that you're the victim of it. And where that,
mm-hmm.
so many people sometimes slide into that little hole, you know, you know, about it, absorbing it, as you said, you know, taking it on as a sponge that really will end up soaking you to nobody's business.
And that's true in all of our relationships. I mean, we're talking about romantic
right.
relationships. It's even true in parenting. You know, how many times, I mean, as I said, you know, I have five kids, and I know you have at least a daughter. You know, how many times when you're raising your kids, do you, you know, especially, my goodness, when they're teenagers, right? And it's so difficult to detach from their stuff. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
obviously some of it's physiological, but some of it's just energy. You know, when you have an awareness that, okay, this is how my kid is hardwired, and this is how I'm hardwired, and here are the weak spots in our energetic connections that we need to be mindful of so that we're not saying or doing things that damage and tear the fabric of our relationship. And how can I now, as a parent with this awareness, step back and appropriately allow my kid to figure their stuff out without, you know, jumping in and trying to fix it, or jumping in and rescuing, or jumping in and judging or criticizing or pushing or prodding, all those weird things we do as parents too, right? Because we want, you know, nobody wants it. I think every parent, we're just about, wants nothing more in the world than for their kids to be okay, and we just don't know how to get to that point sometimes, right? So,
right.
You know, when you've got this tool, you can really start to see what's your kid's stuff, what's your stuff, and get your stuff out of it and be able to hold this space of unconditional love for this child and allow them to be who they are without, you know, over-influencing them perhaps in a direction that's not correct for them. So it becomes a very powerful tool in that way.
And also times, you know, with kids, we're using kids as a reference because, it's really, it goes all through your life. We're just using this as general reference. But with kids, let's say if a parent is saying, you really need to get out because, oh, you played that piano piece so well, you must be a concert pianist, you know, and the parents are like forcing them down that path. And then finally, you know, when the kids get out of the house, they never look at the piano again, you know. They're like, whew, done mm-hmm. with that, you know. And so when someone sees, you know, when they see these lines, so is this a path, these are paths of, do they show paths of resistance or paths, you know, of ways? I'm kind of like, how can we explain these colored lines to the listeners?
Well, there are, you know, as I said, there are circuits. And the best way to explain it is there are three general kinds of circuits. The first kind of circuit is what we call individual circuitry, or what I lovingly call mutative circuitry, meaning there are energies within the chart, and some of us have more of these than others, that are all about being different. So some of us, by nature, are here to be different because we're here to bring change. Any of these kinds of circuits, the individual circuits, if you've got a lot of that energy colored in your chart, you're going to have a life path that is about being different. And when you're here to be different, because you're here to be different, you might not always feel like you fit in. You might not always feel like you belong. And when you understand that about yourself, you can stop trying to fit yourself into a box because maybe that's right. not your life path at all, you know?
Yeah.
And you can begin to celebrate your uniqueness instead of beating yourself up for why you can't be like everybody else. The second kind of circuitry in the system is what we call tribal circuitry. And this is an energy that's all about family and children and those intimate relationships. And, you know, there are some people who maybe a lot of us relate it to family. You know, there are some families that are just really super tight. You know, they go over to mom's house every Sunday morning for Sunday morning muffins, you know, and they all go to vacations together. And the sisters are always, you know, doing stuff together. And most likely people in those families tend to have more of this tribal energy, and that's part of what binds them and ties them together. And it's natural for some people to just by nature be more inclined in that direction. The third kind of circuitry is called collective circuitry, and this is the energy that's really about, you know, it's about helping us create collective structures and organizations and institutions. So these are the energies that inspire us to do things like come together and create democracy. These are the energies that inspire us to do things like create school systems or traffic systems or government systems. And some of us, by nature, are more inclined to think that way, to have bigger ways of seeing the world and understanding the world and analyzing the world because we have a role in life to be more, more system-oriented for the greater good of the whole. Most of us have a good mix of those energies. Most of us have a little bit of all three. And there are some of us who are more heavily weighted in one of those three categories. And when you understand your hardwiring, you know, you can begin to understand why you make those choices and how, you know, to make peace with those choices. You know, if you're more of a tribal person, you know, and you're out in the world trying to do something really individual. Let's say, and this isn't meant to be gender-based, but let's play with this for a minute. Let's say you're a woman with a lot of tribal circuitry, and let's say you have a degree in business, and you're out in the business world trying to really make it in the business world, and all you really want to do is have a baby. And you have a baby, and now you want to stay home and be at home with your family, but now you feel conflicted because you have this career, and maybe you should tend to this right. career because you put a lot of time into it. You know, when you can understand, okay, hey, am I really a tribal person, you can begin to give yourself permission to say, you know what, it's really okay for me to be who I am, to be a mom and to let go of this other identity, at least for now, you know, and be really mm-hmm. in alignment with who I am. And that's maybe a mom for some of us.
And I think we've gotten so far away from people understanding of what they want or what an authentic mm-hmm. self means. We've mentioned that now mm-hmm. the whole hour, and they don't really know what an authentic self means. And sometimes it's just simply taking very small baby steps and say, you know, we can even just take the most mundane thing until we start figuring out who we are. Something like the runaway bride when she doesn't know how many different kinds of eggs she likes. You know, We've all done that, you know. I mean, I've got a whole lot of people in my background that I can tell you that I've altered my eating habits for, and, you know, and did it for maybe a decade or two. And when you sit down and you look at it and those people aren't around anymore and you say, you know, I really don't like this at all, you know, I never did. And you just move it away. So you start, in other words, just start with something so simple, because then when you get really good at the technique, then you'll be able to move to the next thing. Sort of like, okay, well, you know, I really don't like going to church on Saturday. It's never been my thing. I don't want to do it. I know I went that way because the kids always did, but I don't like it. I'm going to go on Sunday, you know, and then you start doing something else. And then you start, so that's something for yourself. Or, you know, I can remember one person that I was with, you know, they wanted me to wear pants all the time. They didn't like when I wore dresses because my knees didn't look right. Isn't that ridiculous? But anyway, but at the time it wasn't, you know. And after that relationship, it was like, I could not wait to dump those pants and put on short skirts. And I said, I didn't give a hoot about what my knees looked like because I couldn't fix them. I couldn't change them. So what am I worried about, you know? And I think that's just given a lot of freedom to a lot of people. Start with something simple, you know, and then with your, you know, with your human design chart, you can start working towards that. Being able to, you know, as you said, start realizing what is okay, what's easier, start with simple things and then work up to the others. Because now on your chart, you're really not giving solutions. You're not, as you said, giving answers. You're not saying, I want you to be here on Friday at 2 o'clock because you're going to meet the, you know, the love of your life. He's going to have, you know, purple hair, carry a purse, and he's going to have on a gold sash. Really? I don't think so. That's not at all what you're saying. What you're saying. I'm telling you.
No, and it doesn't.
Right.
And I, you know,
because you don't really want that, though, because then that's setting up somebody else still creating your vision or your design, right?
Bingo. And that's really the crux of it. This is not a system that's going to give you a guru or is going to tell you, okay, in step one, step two, step three. It's going to show you who you are. It's going to show you how to get to a fuller way of expressing who you are. But it's for you to discover the truth of who you are, because nobody's here to tell you what to do. You're here to discover it for yourself. And, it's up, you know, that's why I'll say it's a complementary modality to everything out there. You can, once you learn how to make decisions that are right for you, you might discover that, hey, I need Reiki, or hey, I need this hypnosis session, or hey, I need to go over here and do Access Consciousness and EFT. You'll know what's right for you, though, because you'll know how to know what's right for you. And that's the key piece human design gives you. That nothing else I think out there really shows you that. And so, you know, I'm not going to, you know, it doesn't tell you, you know, on Thursday at 8 a.m., be here.
Right.
But it does show you how to know where to be so that you'll be in the right place in the way that's right for you at the right time for the right reason.
It is definitely about for the right reason, too. You know, we've spoken before on this show about, let's say, a lot of women are saying, well, I really want to be married. That is it. I'm looking for a husband. No way, no how. And what I like to say to them, and we've said on the show before, is, are you really looking for what? Stability, love, financial security, whatever it is. You want to have a baby. You want to have a house, blah, blah. So list those things out, and then that's something to work with instead of saying something general, I have to have a husband and this is the way it's going to be, because you're really not going to get where you're going to go, and you'll always be setting yourself up for that disappointment.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I think, you know, again, knowing yourself and understanding yourself will help you understand even the nature of your desires. If you've got a lot of tribal circuitry in your chart, you are really, really going to want a husband, because people with tribal circuitry love marriage. They like to be married. They want to be married. And that might be a real natural drive for some of them. For somebody else, they may have been told their whole life, you need to find a man and you need to get married. And if they've got a lot of individual circuitry in their chart, or if they're an energy type that doesn't need other people, because there are some people who don't need people as much as others, they may have been trying to force themselves into this marriage box their whole life. And when they recognize the truth of who they are, they can suddenly go, hey, you know what? I don't need to be married. I don't even need a relationship. What I need is to build a relationship with myself and discover what sets me free, and then see what happens after that. We're all different, and what, you know, this system kind of blows the box off of everything and helps you make peace with what you really want and find ways to create it for yourself and take all the judgment off of it, you know, and give yourself that freedom to be who you are, however that is for you.
But then also now you come to the paradigm that this is a problem for many people who, let's say they're doing their chart and they're in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, and they say, okay, now you tell me I'm free to be me. This is what I'm starting to look at. And I'm in a job, in a relationship. I have a husband of how many decades? And all of a sudden, you know, we've seen these movies before. What is it? Some of those old movies, like those old Southern movies, you know, where all of a sudden the wife changes. You know, husband comes home and the wife's wrapped in plastic wrap, you know, because she was really wanting to experience something else in her life. I'm sure you've seen that movie. And, you know, and the husband's going, well, I'm not changing. And the wife is like, well, I am, you know. And what do you do then?
Well, I think that's place
tough
where,
one.
You know, it's not a human design question. That's a universe question, you know.
Yep.
The universe, you have to, I mean, there are places where you have to just go, okay, hey, universe, you know what? I really want to be free and I want to be myself. And I don't know what that's going to look like. And when you can let it go on that level, and then, as I said, know how to make the right decisions after you've let it go. Let the things that need to show up, and know how to make the right choices. That husband might show up 3 weeks from now wrapped in cellophane himself, okay? Or
right.
That husband might say, you know what, maybe this isn't working, and you might be released to find what you really want. You know, that's the human brain starting to try to figure it out. You know, when the minute we start to figure out all the parameters is the minute we go cuckoo, because our brains are pretty finding. The minute we go, hey, I don't know what it's going to look like, but here's how I can sense for myself what's the right way to navigate on all the choices that the universe is presenting me, and I'm going to move into this place of saying, the universe is going to bring me what I want, and I have a fabulous life, and I'm just going to be here and be present to whatever shows up, and follow what feels correct to me. You know, if we let it go and know how to make the right choices, we'll be taken in the direction that's correct for us. And it might mean that everything goes down to the foundation. Sometimes that happens. If your life is really out of alignment with the truth of who you are, that might happen. But that's not bad. It's just change.
And sometimes, too, I like to say, it's hard to explain, but you think about them as, let's say your car, it needs spark plugs, and you go and you put the spark plugs in that the certain kind of car needed, and it runs great. And the next time you do it, you say, well, you know, I can't afford it. I want to change. I want to make a change. I'm going to put generics in. Well, your car might not run so well. And then you decide, you know, well, maybe that, let's say in a relationship, you may change, but just the energy around you may change that other person, where they may say, this isn't working too. So, you know what I mean? In other words, when sometimes you seem like you're fitting, it's okay, because one may be giving more than the other. But then once somebody starts to rise up, it kind of like changes the equilibrium. So then the other person is going to have a response. They are going to feel something's different, and then it's up to them to either flow with it or flow out of it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that also falls into the category of things you really can't do much about. You know?
Absolutely.
You know, as long as you tend to your own, you know, your own authentic expression, the things that are in alignment with your authentic expression will stay with you or will be drawn to you. And the things that are not in alignment will, you know, disappear in however they do, you know? And you know, the power and the beauty of it is in simply, you know, trusting that as things are moving away, that they're, you know, you're creating space for the things that are in alignment with you to move in. And you simply, you know, make peace with it and trust that, you know, it's coming. The good stuff is coming. The authentic stuff is coming. The real stuff is coming. And it's a journey. It's a big journey.
And also to know that there is no lack in the universe, that there always is something or someone else out there, or there is some other job or some other thing that you'll be doing. There, it's just, you can't say that there was not something there for me, or I don't know what it is, or how am I going to find, you know, and get stuck in that thing that, oh, it doesn't look like a duck, walk like a duck kind of idea, you know, and you keep looking for the duck. Well, maybe you need to not be watching for the duck.
Uh-huh. Well, exactly, and that's again, that place where you have to, I love that what you just said, you just have to trust, basically, that it's all for your greater good, and you know, the beautiful part of it is to not judge, you know, what's coming, you know, what's coming undone. Don't, you know, it's like peeking into a Christmas present, you know, moving the wrapper back and peeking. Don't peek, just let it unfold, and then when it's ready, it'll be time to take the wrappers off.
Oh, now I know what my problem is. I used to do that all the time. I can tell you, since the time I was 4 years old and I could stand on a chair, I would open up the presents, look at them all, play with them, rewrap them, and put them back in there. I have done that my entire life. Oh, well.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I'm sure I'm not the only one.
We peeked at your chart. Patience is not one of your greatest strengths.
Oh, well. You know, I like to, you know, stir the pot. What can I say? There's so many people I could say that they would stand in front of me and they're like, gosh, you know, they'll stand there and they'll say something and you're going, what the heck? Where did that come from? And you think you're just bringing out that in somebody else, you know? That's what your place was for that day, is just to be there and just let it roar. Just don't take it home with you because you don't need to carry that so long.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly.
Well, Karen, we have come to the end, and we've been talking so long, my goodness, we haven't even stopped. So could you give us some information about your website? I know you have a lot of information on your website and a lot of other tools for people who are looking to find out about the human design.
Well, the website is Understanding Human Design, which is the same name as the book. The book is also called Understanding Human Design, so it's understandinghumandesign.com. When you go to the website, you can submit your information and get your free human design chart. And with the chart comes what we call your self-discovery kit. So you'll get a whole bunch of information, including some videos and a written report that'll help you understand your chart so you're not looking at this weird triangle going, what is this?
Right.
You'll get information to start really looking at the chart as well. And then, you know, I encourage people, take some time, you know, I really do encourage you to get the book. It's probably the best tool to help you go through and understand your chart. And then go through the website. There's a lot of audios there, a lot of webcasts there, a lot of videos there you can go through. And then if you really want to go deeper into it, there's a whole list of specialists. I've got a bunch of really amazing, talented, hugely loving, caring people who I've trained to do human design readings. And, you know, find somebody who you really resonate with. And, you know, schedule yourself the time and give yourself the gift of really having somebody walk you through that chart so you can really start figuring out, who are you, what am I here to do, and how can I make choices that are really going to be a true reflection of my magnificence and help me create a life that's an authentic expression of who I really am.
And that's so important, yet it is a large thing to do. And while it might be easy, you know, when you start getting into it, but it is a big project, and it's not something you're going to do, and then tomorrow you're going to be A-okay, and your job is going to show up at the door. So this is definitely a lifetime to work with, correct?
Absolutely. This is definitely not I'm going to read this book, and my life's going to be totally different tomorrow. You know, this is a process, and we always teach, you know, it's a process that will get you down to the bare bones over a course of time, because this is about you embarking on an experiment to discover yourself. It's not about you being told what to do. It's not a system that's going to tell you, you know, step A, step B, step C. This is about you finding yourself and starting on a journey to really give yourself permission to express yourself fully as you really are.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today, Karen. It's been a pleasure. This has been definitely a different topic where people really could find some help. And please do contact Karen. Her website is on today's show page. Also, the link is there to purchase her book. So, Karen, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you. It's been quite an honor, and I thank everybody who's listened. I just looking forward to everybody being who you are. So,
thank you so much. So if you'd like some more information about Karen, her links are on today's website, and you'll be able to find out more information therein. There's also a lot of MP3s on her website. Please do take advantage of them. And, yes, you can get your free human design chart. So please do check out the website. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. It's a pleasure to have you with us today. And until another day, and oh my goodness, I hope the summer just goes a little bit quicker. I'm dreaming of snow. Hey, you know, this week they've got Christmas shows on the television, so I think I'm going to go watch one. So have a wonderful evening, and until tomorrow, this is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and thank you so much for being with us.